Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Executive Committee meeting. First, we're going to have our safety update from our Chief Safety Officer, Teresa Imposato. Ms. Imposato?
Good morning. In case of an emergency, we will egress through the main doors or the closest exit, both of which are illuminated by exit signs next to the screen. We will assemble on the lawn of the National Building Museum. Please take care when crossing the street. It is an active roadway. Be on the lookout for vehicular traffic. An AED is available behind the guard station in the event of a medical emergency. I will retrieve the AED. Fire extinguishers are strategically located throughout the building, and restrooms are past the guard desk to your left. The safety contact for today, October the 24th, highlights the end of daylight savings time. Daylight savings time ends November the 3rd, with clocks being turned back 1 hour at 2 a.m. Daylight savings time ending may affect our health and well-being in a manner similar to the jet lag effects of travel. To reduce fatigue and risk associated with the abrupt shift in schedule and time, adjust sleep schedules to ensure 7 to 9 hours of rest and minimize distractions, which would reduce the quality of that rest. The end of daylight savings time is also an ideal time to test the functionality of smoke detector alarms and carbon monoxide detector batteries. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Imposato. Good morning. The first item on our agenda is to approve the agenda. If there are no objections, we'll consider the agenda approved as presented. Are there any objections? Okay, thank you. Next, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes. We have three sets of minutes to approve this morning. I would like to move approval of the minutes of the September 26th public session and our executive sessions of September 26th and October 10th. Could I get a second? Seconded by Mr. Bolger. I'll also note that Mr. Devin Rouse is on the phone, and he's filling in for David Horner this morning. Devin, are you there?
I am.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have a motion on the table. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you. The minutes have been approved. Next, informational item. We only have one item on our agenda today. The committee will hear from Metro's external auditors on the authority's financial statement and single audit. Under the WMATA Compact, subsection 70A requires that the report of the annual independent audit shall be prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, auditing principles, and shall be filed with the chairman and other officers as the board shall direct. This does not require board or committee action. Now I'd like to turn the floor over to Mr. Charrington, who is the OIG, to introduce RSM.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Part of the OIG independence oversight is to have the financial statement audit of WMATA conducted, and I'd now hand it over to RSM, Mr. Brett Friedman, and Ms. Valerie Coleman.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, everybody. My name is Brett Friedman. I'm an audit partner with RSM, and to my right is Valerie Coleman, who is one of our senior managers. It's our pleasure to be here with you this morning, and as was said, we're here to present the results for the audit. So you should have received two documents. One, the larger one, is the financial statements. Those are prepared by management. It's our responsibility to issue an opinion on those. The second document is our required communications, which was in a PowerPoint. I'm just going to briefly walk through some items in that. Just first to start, we performed the audit for the fiscal year as of and for the year ending June 30, 2019. The purpose of these communications are to comply with professional standards and to help you in your role as governance overseeing the financial reporting for WMATA. First, to start with, on page one of the document, the status of the audit. The audit is 100% complete. The opinions have been issued. The opinion date is October 18th. Most important thing to point out there is the opinion is unmodified, which from an audit perspective, that's the highest level of assurance that we can provide that the financial statements are fairly presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. Another important thing to note is the financials have been issued well in advance of the deadline for the authority, which is October 31st. In addition to the financial audit, we also performed a compliance audit in accordance with the Office of Management and Budget Uniform Guidance. The two programs that were tested were the Federal Transit Cluster and the Passenger Rail Investment and Improvement Act. Going to the next page on scope of audit, just to reiterate, our responsibilities are as defined in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards, government auditing standards, and our arrangement letter with the authority. At the beginning of the audit, we provided you a letter which outlined the scope and timing of our work. There were no issues or challenges that caused that timing to not materialize. No significant changes in scope or execution. In fact, I want to point out and thank both the IG's office and management for being very responsive to us, getting us all the information we need to ensure we can complete our work timely. Now, one of the key things in your role of governance is just for us to point out significant accounting practices and estimates. The thing about the significant accounting practices is you try to highlight anything that may be outside of normally accepted GAAP. There are no policies applied by the authority that are of that nature. As far as the key estimates, go to the next page. The key estimates that we deal with are unearned fare revenue. That is primarily driven through the next fare system, and we use a team of IT auditors to come in and test the system, and they give us reliance to where we can place reliance on the reports. The others are your pension benefit assumptions, your post-employment benefits, and your estimated liability for injury and damage claims. For both pension and other post-employment benefits, the authority uses a third-party actuary to calculate those for you. What we do is we have our own actuaries review those reports, ensure that they're done in accordance with actuarial standards, and that there are no concerns with the assumptions. During this current year, there were two new accounting standards, neither of which had a significant effect on the authority. That is GASB 83, which is certain asset retirement obligations, and GASB 88, certain disclosures related to debt. Neither of those really had a major effect on the authority. Next page, you'll see we had a couple of audit adjustments, which really were just reclassification. In our review, we noted just some posting errors that were reversed and adjusted. These are reflected in the financials that you have. On the next page, also one of the things we provide to you is a summary of uncorrected misstatements. These are items that are deemed to be quantitatively and qualitatively not significant. However, we do include them in this package and in a representation letter just to advise those charged with governance. You'll see the overall net effect of those transactions, which in this case, they're both prior period items, one of which reversed out, one of which has not reversed. Net effect is just $10 million. Going to the next page, here's just some additional required communications. Again, there were no alternative treatments. We did not encounter any situations where management was looking for unique or creative ways to adjust the financials. Everything was done in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, consistently applied year over year. We did not have any disagreements with management. They provided us full access to everything we needed. Again, between both the finance department and also Jeff's team, they helped us with anything we needed to obtain. As far as we're aware, there were no consultations with other accountants. Also, no significant difficulties encountered during the audit. Significant items discussed during the audit, the only thing that came up was a change in how one of the accounting principles was applied, going from something that really lacked authoritative guidance to something that's more consistent with recent accounting standards, such as GASB 75 for OPEB and 68 for pensions. So the authority made a change just to be consistent. Basically, it's going from one acceptable version of GAAP to a better version of GAAP. No issue there. Also, in addition to our financial audit, we are responsible for providing a letter communicating internal control deficiencies. And for that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Valerie just to go over the summary of findings.
Thank you, Brad. To begin with, there's been a significant improvement in reportable deficiencies over the prior years. So what does that mean? There are no material weaknesses to report for the current year, as well as there are no non-compliance issues related to the federal programs. There are just two significant deficiencies. One is a repeat finding, and the other relates to the reporting errors. So in our next slide, we talk about the prior year findings and the status of those findings. One is in regards to the repeat finding that we noted in the current year as it relates to their schedule of expenditures of federal awards and the reporting errors. that we've alluded to with the audit adjustments. I think we're two slides down.
Yeah, next.
So in regards to prior years, we repeated one, and in the other, we did not note as a repeated finding as it relates to the failed Kronos implementation. However, we've provided a recommendation to aggressively manage that as the future plan implementation takes place. There are just two reporting matters left to complete in our FY19 cycle. One is in regards to the National Transit Data Audit Report, which will be completed next week. And then the following is in the regards to the reconciliation of expenses. We do one in regards to the customer services center and the other of the software maintenance agreement. Those will be completed shortly thereafter.
Okay. With that, we'll open up for any questions you might have.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Goldman, Mr. Bolger? Go ahead, Mr. Bolger.
Thank you for a wonderful report. I can remember years gone by, Mr. Chairman, where we didn't get our audit done on time on numerous occasions. This is, I think, the third year, help me, Jeff, that we've had an audit done on time, right?
I think it's the fourth year.
No, yeah. I think we're better, Mr. Chairman. So congratulations to the management staff, Jeff's team, and our auditors on 4 years of having the audit done on time, which has major implications for our lots of financial activities here at WMATA. One final question, Mr. Chairman, on the last slide. The transit database, that's Section 15 of the Federal Transit Administration's reporting data, which has an effect on our formula funds.
And yes.
Is it going to get done by October 31st, and therefore we'll qualify for the next fiscal year when and if we ever get a federal appropriations
yes.
for the federal formula funds, right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Goldman.
Brett, just turn to your slide 9 and 10, summary of findings. You referenced two, quote, significant deficiencies. As board members, what level of concern or seriousness should we assign to a finding of a significant deficiency?
Okay. Is a significant deficiency is kind of like the middle level where, you know, something that is very significant and of concern would be a material weakness. That's something that indicates that you have weaknesses in the system that will not that will prevent things from being properly recorded. Significant deficiencies, those are items that are, you know, not material enough to be a material weakness, but significant enough to notify you as the individual charged with governance. You know, in this case, the items you have, they're straightforward items. You know, the first finding on the CIFA, that's one that's been there for multiple years. But again, it's something that it's important for you to be aware of, but not significant enough to where it's really putting the authority at any risk. Okay. Start with the new one first, which is the reporting errors that related to, you know, one of the things that happens in an audit, anytime you find significant items that become audit adjustments, you're required to evaluate the controls to see, you know, what caused those adjustments to be needed. So the reporting errors relates directly to those two reclass entries that we had recommended to management to post this year. The other one, the CIFA.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely. And to add, one of them was a very unique transaction having to do with the early termination of the Series 5000 cars, so clearly something that wouldn't be repeating. It's a very...
It's not something we should be concerned about.
No. Right. The other one is the schedule of expenditure of the federal awards, and there, given the nature of the funding and how WMATA receives its funding, you know, there's oftentimes where monies are being moved from one approved grant to another. The risk there really isn't so great for WMATA because you really have two really large programs. The real exposure there is if you had a bunch of other federal awards, the risk that they would not get tested because of the shifting of expenses. But here, you know, just the concern is, you know, what we're talking about is expenditures that may have been reported in the prior year as federal awards that are subsequently deemed to not be federal. And these are management decisions to try and use the highest and best use of available funds. So it's not that they're doing anything inappropriate. It's just the exposure potentially is, you know, either federal awards will be tested that didn't have to be, or items will not have been tested that should have been if it goes the other way. If it was a non-federal expenditure, it becomes federal. All that happens in that case is when we perform the testing, we pull the prior year documentation as well if it's now being included federal. So that's just it. It just becomes a bit of a management challenge, but it is being done to maximize your available resources. Yes. Right. Just where the expenditure, like what funding, what resources should be used to cover the expenditure. And you're trying to optimize and use the federal resources as best as possible. Now, some of that will likely change with some of the new dedicated funding that's going to be coming in with the new agreements. That should help alleviate that concern. But that's one of the big things is when you're heavily reliant on the federal awards, it is important to do that to maximize what you're getting. Well, in our experience and in looking around at other authorities, this is something that we found was unique to WMATA, and it is because of the unique funding structure, the current compact, versus having a dedicated funding source coming in. Now, again, WMATA is moving towards having those dedicated agreements with the jurisdictions, which should alleviate. But we looked at, you know, Chicago Metro. We looked at Atlanta, at the other major metro authorities, and did not find similar issues in their reports. Well, this, I think the key thing is just from a management perspective, obviously it's important to have the flexibility to do it, but what we would encourage is to try and minimize that to situations where it's, you know, necessary, where it's truly the most necessary or advantageous, because it does also create some challenges to staff where when items are reclassified from one to another, they move the expenditures within the projects. It takes some time to kind of go back and work backwards to find the original support. But, of course, it's always being done for what's in the best interest of WMATA. But the only thing would be, hey, and that's one thing that actually has happened, because this is a repeat finding. One of the things we've seen over the years is also a dramatic reduction in the volume of those. Like the first couple of years we were doing it, it was huge amounts that related to prior periods that were being awarded. You know, there were draw restrictions. Now it's still significant enough to where we point out to you, but much smaller amounts. And I know that, you know, Dennis and the team are continuing to try and push that to make it even smaller and smaller.
When you say much smaller amounts, just to get a sense of we're talking about a capital budget of roughly $1.4 billion, so what are we talking about? Exposure to your
institutions. So in the current year, there was a net effect of about $2 million in regards to, yes, $2 million. Yeah, you got it.
Of course, Mr. Goldman. Mr. Rouse, any questions or comments?
Nothing for me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So, Mr. Friedman, and to you and your team, thank you. And I think, as Mr. Bulger pointed out, this is now going on our fourth year of a good audit process, and I think it says a lot about the IG's office and management working collaboratively and working with the auditors. So thank you very much. And is there any other business before Mr. Bulger?
Just one organizational question. How many more years do you have a contract to do our audit?
This is actually the final year under our contract.
And then, Jeff, we put it up on the street to bid again, or how? What's the process that we should be aware of?
Yes, that's my understanding, Ms. Bulger.
Okay. All right, very good. If there are no other issues to come before the board, we'll stand adjourned. Thank you. We'll see you at the board meeting at 10 o'clock. Next door.